we've got to be resistant to going into a situation and telling them how we want to do it. We've got to start with asking them what we're doing. We have to be curious to what our processes are. Because if I just go in and tell them, you're going to miss key things that are creating and are part of the problem.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder. Pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. I am pumped to be with you guys today. Hope you're having a great day. Super fun hot topic today. We're going to talk about two things. One is, how do we set intentional smaller scorecards for our team members that I think are more attainable and actually actionable and have a more of a desired effect in the short term with training things. And then number two, just the reality and challenge of context switching within our day in and day out dental lives. So that's what we're going to talk about. Okay. Before we do that though, hey, hope you all, have joined the app. If you haven't joined the app, please download the app right now. 3 Dentist app. If you've downloaded it and you love it, please leave us a review on the iTunes or the Android store so people know that it's great. But it has been awesome. The Growth Club, we've been producing live surgeries, showing lots of things in there. It's really cool, so check it out. Also, courses coming up. Want to let you know on the courses coming up. We have 1 or 2 spots left in our July mastermind. That is something that is a total awesome thing to take advantage of if you're looking to level up. Hopefully you've been listening to practice. You're just waiting to pull the trigger. You got an opportunity to do it now. Otherwise, it will be January before you can get engaged in that. Our first Full Arch Express Continuum, where you learn to do full arch implants. Even if you're doing, you've done some overdentures, you've done some full arch, looking to do it in a fully digital workflow. We have this as our first one with Neodent. Didactic portion, where you can come to the first 3 days. That's much less expensive. Or you can do the 5 days, where you actually get to do 2 full arch surgeries live in person in Raleigh on patients. So very cool. And you get to assist too as well. So you get to see a lot of full arch surgery in that week. And then we run that again later in the fall. And then if you're also looking to get into beginner implants, we have that in September as well. So check out those courses at 3d-dentist.com. If you're really interested, you just want to reach out, get quick information, email Meredith at 3d-dentists.com. All right. So let's jump into this. So I just got off a call and I was like, this is a great conversation to have, is how do we set realistic metrics that are not overwhelming to our team members to implement success? You know, a lot of these KPI trackers can be overwhelming. You know, we have our own that we use at 3D Dentist that we've tried to simplify, but even that has, gosh, a lot of metrics. Then you get something like Practice by Numbers, Dental Intel, some of these different softwares that show you a lot of stuff. It's overwhelming. And collections and production aren't necessarily great numbers to really communicate with your team into how I want to implement things or to motivate actionable steps. Now, this kind of came up as note to me because we've been, my Aubrey, who's our director of operations, is out. So I've been pulled back more into the front office, which has been interesting to say the least. And which is, again, the dentist, we don't love that area to begin with. And I was kind of playing around with our phones, and I noticed that we were missing around 40% of our calls. Well, that's a huge number. Like, that should be like, wow. Like, and I was like, here I am, you know, thinking I run like a pretty well-oiled machine. Yeah, 40% of our calls aren't getting answered. Now, I'm one of those people that I've gotten better about over time, not trying to make excuses for things. And a lot of times, like, I'll see a metric and then, you know, someone I'm talking to will be like, well, yeah, but. And I think the more that I can get away from yeah, buts, and more just be like, okay, well, how do I make it better? That is really what can be empowering. So that's my first take home for you, is that when you see data like that, don't be so quick to just always make excuses around it. So my excuse was, well, we're probably down a person. We got people on maternity leave. Like, it just kind of is what it is. No, that can't be the excuse. So what I did was I went down and I talked to the team. And I said, hey, here's what's going on. We're missing too many calls. I'm paying a lot of money to make the phone ring, like legitimately in marketing dollars. I also learned that there were probably some systematic logistical challenges that we had created and how the phones were ringing, you know, the trees that were ringing, how long it took to get on the phone, even from when you called. These phones are ringing, and like that was kind of a cluster. So we kind of got away from some of that stuff to where we were just going to keep the phones ringing until they got answered. And the real take home here is that we moved our target from, hey, office, let's hit this production number, this collection number, to, hey, front office team, how do we get our goal for the next couple months is how do we get our missed call number down? Like a truly attainable, actionable item that we can help. So within the first week, we went from 40% to 15%. The second week, it was 15% down to 10%. You know, now we're sitting at like on a 7-day average, something like below 10% of our calls are missed. And just to be clear, these are inbound calls during office hour days. Like it doesn't count necessarily missed calls. I'm not talking about like after hours. And it really was eye-opening, and it's been eye-opening to me in that when we give team members, anybody that works for us, associate doctor, when we give them tangible, specific goals, that's not like everything, and we focus in on that, that's really where the most progress is made. The challenge is I think we get, as business owners or as leaders in the practice, we get tied up in the shiny fish mentality of, well, I'm processing something, but then I see something else that's shiny and, oh, we need to fix that. So let's go fix that. But then there's this other thing we need to fix. So hey, I need y'all to fix that too. And next thing you know, I've like seven layered caked this experience for these team members in that I told them this was important, but then I told them five other things that were also important. And the frustrating part about that is there are that slow down to speed up means that something will probably go on the back burner during that period. But what I've got to be diligent to do is to be willing to invest the time into creating a new habit or a new change in the way that I do things. And what I see time and time again with offices that we work with in the mastermind programs is that they'll come back and they'll say they've implemented something. For instance, a financial menu, right? Or a financial agreement. Like one of the things that we're core on is that every patient gets assigned financial agreement that looks like a menu of all the different ways that patients can pay for things. And they'll say, we're doing it. And I'm like, no, you're not. You know, you're just scratching the tip of the iceberg. And so I get off this call just a second ago, and he was kind of asking, well, how do I narrow down metrics? What are these specific metrics that I can look at to be more attainable? And I said, well, you gotta zoom in, get an idea of what you're trying to change, and then give the team members involved with that change direct action items to be their scorecard. It's one reason why I also don't love a team bonus early on in a lot of change and growth, because to me, I want to do like Pavlov's dog, where it's like, hey, we're trying to get this menu put in, right? And a part of that, our scorecard is going to be that our AR goes down. Our AR goes down, that our percentage of collections that's financed goes up, and that our number of financing applications in a month goes up. Those are our three scorecards, or three metrics on our scorecard. Not collections, not missed calls, not whatever else. These are the three things that we're going to be graded on. If we can, and then you give it targets, right? Reduce our AR by 50 grand or by 20%. If we can have, you know, maybe I had two applications in the month previous. If I can get to eight applications this month, maybe our percentage financing of collections financed is 1%. If we can get it to 5%, if we hit these three metrics, I will take you all out to lunch. Pay for you to get your nails done. $100 cash. Like to me, that's how you you really can implement and get change to happen. And then the challenge is I've got to stick with it for at least 30. You know, there's that book, the Coaching Habit, I think is what it's called. Maybe it's a different book. There's a book that talks about this. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it's that like habits aren't really, they don't become a habit until after like 30 or 45 days or something like that. And I think that's what we do terribly as leaders in dental is we will talk about an idea, we'll tell our team, we'll focus it on for a week, and then I give them another idea. And so what was on the way to being a habit is now no longer a habit. And so by giving them scorecards that I maintain for 2 or 3 months around something, it really does start to have that kind of desired effect of implementing true change. And so I believe that, like, you know, we're going to get to a point here in a month or so where I won't have to talk about missed calls anymore. I'll just be able to check in on it every now and then because we will have created habits that subliminally, when that phone rings, we get it. When someone else is beeping in, maybe I need to get off for a second and get the other one, like whatever it looks like. But that's something that we don't want to have as many missed calls. And honestly, it's, you know, it's been helpful too, because I think anytime you go through these conversations, ultimately what it's also going to do is help you refine your process. And that process is very important because what we've got to be resistant to doing, and like, I want to pause for a minute because this is just so important. We've got to be resistant to going into a situation and telling them how we want to do it. We've got to start with asking them what we're doing. We have to be curious to what our processes are. Because if I just go in and tell them, you're going to miss key things that are creating and are part of the problem. So instead of, for instance, let's use this phone example for me because it's fresh. Instead of going down and saying, hey, I just changed all the phones. Here's what's going to happen. These are how they're going to ring. I went down there and I said, hey, we have a problem. We are missing more calls than we should be. I'm going to make some assumptions that y'all aren't just up here goofing off, letting the phone ring. So walk me through kind of what happens when a phone rings. Where does it go? What do we think about that? How long does the phone ring? You know, do we prioritize certain calls over others? Like, what is our process? And you will be shocked at some of the things you hear that you're like, well, that's a part of the problem too. But you miss that if you just go into like, you know, dictator leader mode and just go down there and tell them how you want it to be done. So that's a really important take home to me in all this is like, you know, we use this financial example. Hey, front office team, our AR, accounts receivable, or patient AR is high. Why do we think that is? Well, you know, a lot of times we don't have estimates, so we just kind of guess. And then why are we guessing? Well, because we don't get their insurance verified. So what we think may be one problem typically opens up a lot of doors to maybe other problems that you need to do. So really take that to heart in that when you see something that's not performing or doing the way you want it to, get curious. Get curious. Ask questions before you go tell someone how to fix it. And this is, I think, you know, this is just a great concept. Another part of this too is how we as leaders have got to slow down. I see this happen a lot where I got a task just a second ago, tasked with the way we communicate in our office. A team member sent me a task, said, hey, here's a disgruntled patient. And here was the experience, you know, and before I can make my comments on it, I've got to go gather information. I've got to go ask questions. I got to figure out, were we the problem? Were they the problem? Like I got to gather the intel. So to me, that's a really, really important part of it. Whew. Next part. I've been trying to keep it 15 minutes. This one's going to go a little longer. That's part one. Part two is the same call, this dentist says, I'm just so busy. I'm having struggle. Like he just stopped. He goes, when do you do your lab cases? You know, when and this goes into context switching. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, jumping from doing an Invisalign lab case to a hygiene check to paying a bill to seating a crown. Like, it's so difficult to wear all these different hats. And so the more we can minimize this, the better. So the take-home point here was, again, I got curious. I said, just tell me, what does your schedule look like? And he goes, well, I work 4 days a week. It's like, perfect. It's like, so clinically, right? He's like, yep. And then I was like, and do you work on Friday? He's like, yeah, I have like an admin day. I was like, okay, great. He goes, that's typically 2 or 3 hours. It's like, okay. Now, you may notice already that, like, that seems counterintuitive, that I'm going to work 4 days in my business and 2 to 3 hours on my business. That also should probably make you laugh and chuckle and resonate a little bit, be a little painful to hear, but reality. And I said, well, what do you do on your admin day? He's like, well, typically that's when I catch up on my lab cases or like plan implants. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So you just told me that on your admin day, you're doing your dentist work. Like, that's all stuff that's clinical. So this is something that's really become a key important concept for me, as just like I've gotten busier with life and just being involved in different things, is trying to earmark time for something else and not letting something else come in and steal that time. And so what I told him, I said, is like, if you're going to, I don't love that Friday is the day that you do it. I don't love that we don't have some of that, you know, done throughout the week. But if Friday is going to be the day that you work on your business, not in your business, you cannot put your dentist hat on. Like, it would be no different than like your associate or somebody not being in the office, or like you being not like a patient not being there. I can't do things related to the dentist part of my life. And really what this concept comes back to is that there is a limitless amount of things we can do in the business, from me as an employee learning technology, design, clinical skills, to working on the business, limitless there. There's limitless amount of golf I'd like to play, and there's limitless amount of time I should, you know, want to be with my kids, and all those things, right? That is challenging. And so you've really got to start to think about how, or not how, but that when I dedicate time to a certain thing, I can't let it overlap. I'll give you another tangible example that I've been doing. I finally started labeling emails, whether they were personal, 3D dentist, or Sullivan Dental Partners. Because what would happen is my email box would, it's limitless, right? Like there's new emails come every day. And so I would just every day start from the top. And so if I got more 3D dentist emails, then that's what would take up my time. But that would be my Sullivan Dental Partner day. But then my personal stuff was... So I finally had to get to a point where I'm like, I'm going to label these emails, and then I'm going to partition time at certain times of the week where this is when I'm going to follow up with 3D dentist emails, SDP emails, and personal emails. Like, it sounds so silly, but that kind of intentionality doesn't let... It keeps me from robbing Peter to pay Paul. Keeping one business afloat while the other one suffers. Keeping one part of my life afloat while the other part suffers. So I hope this has been helpful, kind of these two topics about narrowing in on scorecards for your team members and implementing stuff. And then also just that idea of like, how do I dedicate time to something and then I respect that time? And I really do think that if you truly want to grow a dental business and grow beyond a one doctor, you know, two doctor, like, and really flourish into that, then you've got to recognize that the time that you spend in the business will significantly, like, will proportionally has to continue to change to working on the business more. Otherwise, you will just stay in this kind of vicious cycle of being in that cycle. And that's not what I think anybody wants. So I hope you enjoyed this. Like I said, let me know your feedback. If you like the episode, I'd love to hear that feedback. I'm words of affirmation guy. If there's other topics you want to hear, let me know. And yeah, work smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.